Our first reading today is from Acts 4, verses 5 to 12. The next day, the Jewish leaders, the elders, and the teachers of the law gathered in Jerusalem. They met with the high priest Annas and with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others who belonged to the high priest's family. They made the apostles stand before them and asked them, "How did you do this? What power do you have? And whose name did you use? Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and the elders, if we are being questioned today about the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all the people of Israel should know, that this man stands before us today, completely well through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. Jesus is one of those who the scriptures say, 'The stone that you, the builders, despised, turned out to be the most important of all.' Salvation is to be found through him alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us."
I thought today was certainly one where we should use the 23rd Psalm. One of the best known, Old Testament passages, which shows us Jesus to come, as the Good Shepherd. A very peaceful picture, idyllic really, of the sheep being safe and fed and watered and restored. At the same time, of course, it would be known then, as it's known now, that it could be a very rough time, both for the sheep and for the shepherd. Anyway, let's say those words together. I think they're coming up on the screen, is that right? Yes, so I'll come and make sure that I use the same version as you do. Wonderful thoughts to have in our minds every day, aren't they? We're now going to hear a gospel reading.
The reading is from John 10, verses 11 to 18. "I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When the hired man, who is not a shepherd, does not own sheep, seeing a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, as the Father knows me, and I know the Father in the same way. My sheep are my sheep, and they know me, and I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me, which are not in the sheep pen. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I will give it up with my own free will. I have not the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do.
So we have that picture of sheep in our mind after what we said earlier. Peculiar creatures, sheep. Their great characteristic is that they're so easily led. Usually they appear to have no mind of their own. In this country, we have a mental picture of a shepherd walking behind his flock, or perhaps the sheepdog, rounding them up. It was very different in the Middle East, in Jesus' day, of course. In a country of extreme temperatures, it would often be difficult for the shepherd to find green pastures and water for the sheep's food and drink. He would walk perhaps 40 to 50 miles at a time over bare, rocky ground and with the threat of wild beasts too. The shepherd walked in front of the sheep, leading and calling. Each sheep was known by its name and its characteristics. Have you seen those wonderful programs on television where a shepherd can go to where there are a mass of sheep and he's able to pick out his own flock, and within his flock he's able to pick out his own sheep individually by name? It's just astonishing. Even though they're with them day by day, I still think it's so wonderful and fascinating to see a shepherd able to do that. On summer nights, the sheep would be kept in a pen on open ground, surrounded by a circle of stones, making a wall. The sheep would be counted in one by one by the shepherd. If one were found to be missing, the shepherd would go out and search for it. Sometimes a rescue was needed, of course. When they were all in, the shepherd would lie down across the gap. Now, there's the hard thing to do. He did that to stop the sheep from wandering out again and also to keep them safe from any marauding animals. So the shepherd's own life was endangered by use of his own body, willing to sacrifice his life for the sake of the sheep. And of course, all this is a familiar scene for the people to whom Jesus was talking in one of the I Am sayings, I am the good shepherd. And this was the point that Jesus would use, the sacrifice, the willingness, even to be killed, looking after the sheep. We can find two reasons for Jesus using this description of himself, the Good Shepherd. In the Old Testament, the word shepherd symbolized a royal caretaker of God's people. God had given great responsibility to the leaders, the shepherds of Israel, but they'd failed to live up to it. God had denounced these false shepherds and had promised to provide the true shepherd, the Messiah, to care for the sheep. That's all in Ezekiel. And then in the New Testament, in Jesus' day, the false shepherds were the Pharisees and the chief priests. Jesus knew that a good shepherd always put first the highest good of his sheep. He regarded his people, his father's people, as his sheep. And the same attitude of care he has always given to them, right on to us to this present day. He is concerned with our total care in constant relationship. In the earthly sense, we need water. In the deepest sense, Jesus said, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. We need bodily food, like the sheep. In the spiritual sense, Jesus has given us the food of bread and wine in communion. We need guidance, just as the sheep certainly did, and he has given us the leading of his Holy Spirit. We need peace, and Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." A genuine shepherd would know each of his sheep intimately, and Jesus knows each one of his children by name, especially by our baptismal name. He desires his sheep's highest good. And he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." There was a concept well known to the Jews based on sheep being able to come and go in safety because of the excellence of the shepherding. They had much more freedom because he was constantly watching over them. Jesus said, "Whoever enters, that is the fold, through me, will come in and go out and find pasture." All this was offering the Jewish listeners freedom. Freedom from fear and want, real freedom to worship God. Freedom of speech. In other words, a settled, peaceful, ordered life is what Jesus wanted for God's people. And he described the contrast between a genuine shepherd and a hired man. Often the hired man would be there for his own sake, probably as a way of making money. He would not have at heart the interests of the sheep. When a wild beast came onto the scene, he would run away for his own safety. It was the custom for the shepherd to lie down across the entrance to the fold, forming a gate, ready to fight animals or to deal with thieves who would steal or kill the sheep. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, said, "I am the gate for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep." And we know that he actually did that for us. It wasn't just talk. He said, "Whoever enters through me will be saved." And it's interesting, in this passage today, we find three times, twice very boldly and then another slightly, three times references to Jesus being willing to lay down his life of his own free will within doing the will of his Heavenly Father. To what extent do you know the Good Shepherd in all his goodness? Archbishop William Temple described him as the beautiful one. Do you sometimes follow him just so far and then stop when it gets dangerous in some way? Do you sometimes hear his voice but not actually respond to it? We so easily go astray and need rescuing. At the cost of his life, he has already reached out and rescued us from ourselves. That's the big one. Jesus' Jewish hearers didn't understand what he was saying, but we have the privilege of understanding the invitation given by Jesus to each one of us. But then we have to move on. Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of his sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd." Some versions say there is one flock and is one shepherd, which is equally true, of course. Jesus had been speaking to the Jews and was now referring to non-Jews, Gentiles, including ourselves. So all this applies to us today as Christians, and also to all others in the world, when the Good Shepherd longs to have him near them. Now he has to rely largely on us, in his strength, to cause that to happen. We need to be truly a member of Jesus' own fold before we can start thinking of going out for him. How much life are you prepared to lay down day by day? And then it won't be after that only our own searching to bring others in. It would also be a matter of what the world sees of the Good Shepherd in us. We can be found to be people who know only one true Good Shepherd as supreme in their lives. We can be seen as people who know they are totally loved and cared for, not just in a cosy, beautifully comfortable Sunday in church type of way, but also in the toughness of the world. That's where people will see us. And we know that however deep our sorrows, our troubles, our real hardships are, real joy, not happiness, which can be a bit more on the surface, but real joy and real peace from Jesus can be there right through it all. All that is one means by which others, by God's grace, come to the Good Shepherd themselves, to know his love and care, to find in him their security, and indeed to find the abundant life that only the Good Shepherd can give. They can discover that this unique shepherd has actually laid down his life for them. But after all this thinking about being cared for by the Good Shepherd, we do need that other passage from Acts also. When we allow ourselves to be loved and protected by Jesus, we're then ready to move out and witness to the world. We're not very likely to have to give life itself, though we think of all those who are being persecuted and killed for their Christian faith around the world. In that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we heard how two of those apostles, Peter and John, took to heart what Jesus had taught and demonstrated in his own life. That being committed to follow can involve enormous sacrifice. Jesus had been absolutely true to his heavenly Father, wanting always to do what he'd been commanded. He was willing to give up his life if needed. As we know, that total sacrifice was needed from Jesus, who was not only willing to sacrifice himself, but actually gave up his own life for all God's people. And this is an amazing story, isn't it? Peter and John were in prison for the night. In the power of the Spirit, they had healed a lame man, and they'd been proclaiming the resurrection. And the Jewish leaders were incensed and questioned Peter and John. How did they manage to do all that? Just think of it. These two men were in front of 71 members of the Supreme Court of the Jews, the wealthiest, the most intellectual, the most powerful men of the land, the very court who had condemned Jesus to death. Just think of the courage they needed. And here was Peter, a simple Galilean fisherman, standing up to them and explaining that it was in the power of Jesus, whom they had crucified, that this man had been healed, and that God had raised Jesus to life again. Then the next bit is that thrilling outcome to the story. The council members were amazed at the boldness of Peter and John, just ordinary men of no education who were companions of Jesus. And we read that there was nothing that they could say, and they told the two men to leave. When are you most challenged to witness to your faith, to be courageous for the Good Shepherd who sent you out into the world. Sometimes I find it's in the most unexpected moment of conversation, or when we don't know that others are noting our behaviour. And that's where we need to be ready from our prayers before we go out. If we spend time with the Good Shepherd each day, he will make us ready for those moments. He loves us inside the fold, but he has love also for all who are outside the fold.